Question submitted by Sundara Pashupati from Washington, United States. He writes, Sannyas is the highest ashram, and generally the sannyasis are respected as being as good as God by other sections. I hear stories about Srila Prabhupada offering sannyas to many of his devotees, and many of them could not maintain it. During the early stages of the Krishna consciousness movement, was Prabhupada very careful in choosing candidates for sannyas? I hear stories that sometimes many of the devotees were given sannyas in a single day and were asked to go out and preach. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Is the spiritual master supposed to understand the possible frailties of his disciples very carefully and give instructions only according to the disciples' capacity? I hear the argument that the strength to carry on the instruction is imparted with the instruction itself. Is it possible that the spiritual master may give an instruction, but if he is not very helpful to the disciple, then the disciple has to take a simpler instruction for himself after the failure? How does giving instructions work in the current context? We have many Madhyam Bhaktas acting as leaders. So are we supposed to check with others when there are strict instructions, other than chanting and regulated principles, and strong ideas presented that are directly not in Prabhupada's books, like preaching, program, building, etc.? There's more than one question here. The first query or set of queries is about Srila Prabhupada's offering sannyas to devotees who didn't maintain the vows. I hear sometimes that many of the devotees were given sannyas in a single day. That's a bit of an exaggeration. I don't have any who are... The idea that they joined and then the next day they were given sannyas, that's an exaggeration. Although mostly Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to young men, in fact they're all young men, who had not been in the movement very long, and mostly to devotees from a Western background. One devotee who Srila Prabhupada very quickly gave sannyas was Bhakti Charu Swami. Actually, there were four of them who were given sannyas at one time, as far as I remember. There was Bhakti Charu Swami, Bhakti Prem Swami, and what are the other names? Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. He'd been around for some time. And the other, I used to know him. I believe he's passed away now. He was from Haridaspur. Bhakti Prabhav Swami. So Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, not the present Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, he'd been in the movement for some time. Indian devotee. Bhakti Prem was a newcomer to Krishna consciousness in the line of Srila Prabhupada, but he'd been a sadhu or a scholar or something like that for some time. He came from that background. Later, I believe he deviated quite seriously from the principles of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Charu Swami was quite new in Krishna consciousness. He was given first and second initiation, as we call it, very quickly, and I believe within 1 year he was given sannyas by Srila Prabhupada. And Bhakti Prabhav Swami was a sadhu already, when he was already a Vaishnava when he came to Srila Prabhupada. So giving him sannyas very quickly was not such a, you could say, a risky affair. He was already living like that, and then he continued like that throughout the rest of his sojourn in this world. Gaur Govinda Swami also was already living as a sannyasi when he came to Srila Prabhupada, and within a short time of him being initiated by Srila Prabhupada, he was given sannyas. But there are other cases also. Most of the devotees who Srila Prabhupada gave initiation to were not from Indian backgrounds. They were from backgrounds with no cultural understanding of what it means to be a sannyasi. In the very early days of the movement, there was only one sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada gave to Kirtanananda sannyas, and then gradually he gave more and more and more. And many of them didn't maintain. I heard that Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, one of his personal servants, was traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and even though he, by the nature of Srila Prabhupada's travels, he didn't stay very long in one place, he managed to make some liaisons with some of the devotee women in various places. And when Srila Prabhupada came to know of this, he gave him sannyas, which is quite astonishing, you might say. And he didn't last very long as a sannyasi. In this case, it seems that Srila Prabhupada was giving him an ultimatum. Okay, now stop this nonsense, finish with all of this. I've heard it said, although I don't have any record for it, but not everything that Srila Prabhupada said is on record. And of course there are many things which Srila Prabhupada didn't say, which are said to have been said by Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, I've heard it said that when someone asked Srila Prabhupada why he was giving sannyas to so many young men, Srila Prabhupada said, when the sabji is ready, you cook it. What is meant by that? it's now in a stage where it can be used, utilized. If you leave it too long, it can't be. So Srila Prabhupada took that risk. He said that sannyasis are needed for preaching. One case was of Adi Keshav. They used to call him Adi the Kid, because he was given sannyas at about age 20, something like that. He was Srila Prabhupada. He was very capable, and Srila Prabhupada put him in, I'm not sure Srila Prabhupada personally appointed him, but he was the temple president at the skyscraper building, well, multi-storied building, not very tall for Manhattan, but it was a tall building which had been acquired as a temple in New York City. And Adi Keshav Prabhu was the temple president, and Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas at a very young age. And he said that if I don't give you sannyas, no one will listen to you. The idea, he was in charge of a major temple with many devotees under him, in many ways qualified as a leader, although later he made a major mistake in selling that property. It's widely seen as a major mistake. But being so young, generally it was presumed that devotees wouldn't take him very seriously, even though he was temple president. So Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas for that purpose. By giving sannyas, and many devotees, they by having that authority and the sense of mission that goes with that, they were inspired to go out and do tremendous service. Later, it may have caused serious problems also, but the faith that was invested in them helped devotees to cooperate with them and accept their leadership, which many of them used in a very positive way for spreading Krishna consciousness. And again, later on, that faith may have definitely caused problems also. But Srila Prabhupada, why did he do that? Srila Prabhupada was in a war situation. He was spreading Krishna consciousness as widely as he could, as quickly as he could, with the understanding that he didn't have much time to do so. So he did some things which were things that we don't have to perpetuate. We don't say that, well, Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to young men who were not long in the movement, so that should be a policy, that we should go on doing that, even if they fall down. Even if the fall down rate is very high. Of course, not all of them fell down. Some of them have remained good sannyasis all these years. Not that many, actually, among Srila Prabhupada's disciples who maintained sannyas throughout their life. Jayapata Goswami, Trivikram Swami, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who's passed away, Sridhar Maharaj, who's passed away. Who else? Yeah. Bhakti Charu Swami, I just said. There may be some more who not coming to mind now. So we can understand it like that. If they fell down, but there's no loss or diminution. Svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. They took that risk. Maybe they didn't even understand how great the risk was for Srila Prabhupada. They got his mercy by spreading Krishna consciousness widely. At one point, Srila Prabhupada became disgusted. I believe he used that term as he'd become disgusted with arranging marriages among his disciples. He also became disgusted with the fall-down rate of sannyasis and said, no more sannyasis. But then he also gave a few sannyas after that. There was one case I remember. I was in London when Surabhi Prabhu came there. And he was the architect for the Bombay temple, Ras Bihari Mandir, and the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And I was in London, as just newly in the movement, and somehow he came there. And I was told that his wife had fallen down or something with some runoff with some other man or something like that. And then the next thing we heard is that Srila Prabhupada had given him sannyas. Surabhi Abhipalayantam Swami. Changed his name from Surabhi. And I don't want to decry him, but I think he'd agree by saying this that he didn't seem a very suitable candidate for sannyas. He wasn't that much into, at least when I saw him, he wasn't that much into hearing and chanting or studying or living very austerely, but anyway, Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas with the idea that, well, now you're free. Your wife has gone off, so take the chance. So Srila Prabhupada gave the opportunity. Anyone could take it if they were sincere and serious enough. That was the idea. That was the idea. If you okay, now there's nothing to stop you. You're free to do that. Just like Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, some two generations prior to that, he was. His mother had died, and his father had died, and then this Bharati Maharaj, who made several sannyasis by preaching like this, he came to him and said, "Okay, you're lucky, you're free now. You don't have any responsibility. Come on, get out of the house. Come join immediately." So. That was Sridhar Maharaj thought, well, I have two younger brothers. Let me see that I'll join later. Let me see they get educated first. But Bharati Maharaj just ripped him out. There was another case, this which sannyasi was that? I can't remember his name. I remember his son's name, Gauradas. Between Bharati Maharaj and Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, they ripped him. He was a householder, a young householder, with a young son. And Bharati Maharaj just came one day and preached to him and said, okay, let's go. And took him out of the home. And then his parents, which sannyasi was that? I can't remember. His parents were very upset. And there's a long letter from Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. You can find that in the collection of his letters. And he gives a long letter preaching that he took him out of the house and gave him sannyas. So no going back. So extreme tactics, you could say. Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, from whom I got many anecdotes and from which I recounted in that Bhakti Siddhant Vaibhava, Sri Bhakti Siddhant Vaibhava, he said regarding this policy of Bhaktisthant Saraswati Thakur to pull people out of the home, to pull young men out of the home despite their family's objection, householders also. Not in every case, with Nishikant Sanyal, Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu, Narayan Das Adhikari, he stayed at home, he slept at home, and then he went to work, and then he was in the mud, and he slept at home, that's all. Sundar Anandi, who was a householder, Bhaktisthant Saraswati Thakur just took him out of home, and he remained in the mud. So Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu told me that Bhaktisthant Saraswati Thakur said that if we hadn't done this, then there would be no Gauriya Math. If we just allowed everyone, okay, you stay at home and yeah, you chant Hare Krishna at home, and then where will the preachers come from? Householders can also preach to some capacity, but dedicated people are required. That's one reason why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made mutts in the first place. It wasn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur's policy. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that with householders, they have so many other duties and distractions. It's very difficult to even train them fully, so much of their time and energy goes into household affairs, or to really get anything powerful going. So Srila Prabhupada was looking for that kind of dedication and commitment, and of course he wanted the men he gave sannyas to carry out on throughout life, to become spiritual leaders. Many of them didn't, so he became much more cautious gradually. With the order comes the strength to do it, that's true, but those who take the order, those who take sannyas, it's not just a matter of taking a stick, but you have to take the order to your heart also. So those who took sannyas, they had the opportunity to do so. That they may not have taken it fully to heart. Well, we can't blame Srila Prabhupada for that. It was something extraordinary that he gave sannyas to young men with no background in Krishna consciousness. They may just have been 3 years in the movement and something like this. When I joined in 1975, if someone had been 4 years in the movement, they were considered a senior devotee. In the Gauriya Math, we see that it's quite common that if someone lives in the mud, young man for 5 years, they'll give them sannyas in many cases. 5 years, 10 years. Usually if someone's been in the mud for 10 years and they can give a class and lead a kirtan, they'll make them a sannyasi. But they don't have the same prestige within the Gauriya Math as the sannyasis in ISKCON do. It's a high prestige position. We'll find many sannyasis in Gaudiya Math there. They're cleaning the floors, and there may be many mats. They just have 2-3 people, and the sannyasi is cleaning the floor and worshipping the deity. And I'm not saying that to denigrate them, but I'm just saying that it's I'm just pointing out that. So was Srila Prabhupada very careful in choosing candidates for sannyas? It doesn't seem like that. He wasn't so much careful as hopeful. He was pushing the movement forward, really pushing it. We can't imagine that nowadays the dynamism of those days was infectious. One example I heard from my godbrother Shyamasundar Prabhu was that of D-Day, which is a well-known in the history of the Western world, sometime in 1945. Many people may even know the exact date. It was a major event in the... Was it 45? I don't know. Anyway, toward the end of the Second World War. It was the invasion of France from Britain by the Allied forces, means mostly British and American. So they landed on the beaches in Normandy, in northern France, and they came on boats. And the first wave of them, they had to charge into German machine gun fire. And all of the first wave, most of them died. And then gradually some managed to make it up to the German lines and gradually more and more, and they were successful. It was a successful operation. They made a foothold in German-occupied France. And then gradually they went forward and swept through Belgium, and from the eastern side the Russian forces came, and Nazi Germany was, its war effort was finished. So the point that Shyamasundar Prabhu made was that so many people were sacrificed, and it was obvious, those who planned the mission, that they're going to die. Thousands of people are going to die. To pull this off, we're going to have to sacrifice thousands of people. It was inevitable. But the result was that they were successful in that operation, which was a major turning point in the tide of the war. Otherwise, anyway, the Germans were, it was considered they were finished, but they could have dragged on for many more years, the war, if they didn't do this decisive operation. So, Shyamasundar Prabhu gave the example that in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada, he was willing to take such risks, and he knew that not everyone, or it's very likely that not everyone is going to come out alive in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. But their efforts are appreciated by Krishna. They're not the loser. Even though by taking such risk for Krishna, they may not maintain their status in Krishna consciousness. This doesn't refer only to sannyasis, of course. It's not only sannyasis who take risks in preaching. But they're glorious, and they will get certainly unlimited more benefit by taking the risk for Krishna than the soldiers who invaded France, who only get some some war memorial stuck up while they went off to who knows where they went. Where they probably didn't go to Swargaloka. Yes, what is that? Hatova prabhasi swargam jitva va bhukshasi mahim. That Krishna says to Arjuna, if you win the battle, you'll enjoy the earth, and if you die, you'll go to heaven. But we don't know where the soldiers who were killed in the D-Day operation went. It's not very likely that they went to Swargaloka. But those who risk for Krishna, under Srila Prabhupada's direction, they will get eternal benefit, no doubt. Is the spiritual master supposed to understand the possible frailties of his disciples very carefully and give instructions only according to the disciples' capacity? Well, if you give instructions only according to the disciples' capacity, then they're never going to advance. You have to give them instructions beyond their capacity. Then they can advance. Otherwise, you just remain stagnant wherever you are. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, it's a pushing movement. Srila Prabhupada said, my spiritual master is pushing me, I am pushing you, and you should push others. Possible frailties, yeah, definitely disciples have frailties and foibles. But the spiritual master, does he supervise them very carefully? Well, different gurus deal with different disciples in different ways. How careful do you want to be? You can also, if you're overprotective, then the disciple may not make so much advancement. The spiritual master may give instruction, give a challenge to the disciple that you go and you do something difficult for Krishna. Take the challenge. Then they can quickly make advancement. If you're always so careful with them, then they can't develop so much. And that's true in bringing up children also. If children are overly protected, then they can't act very effectively, independently in the world, unless they develop that that inner strength. So that strength comes from the spiritual master, but it's not that he has to be there at every moment, wiping their backside after they pass stool, etc. The spiritual master may give an instruction, but if he is not very helpful to the disciple, then the disciple has to take a simpler instruction for himself after the failure. Take a simpler instruction for himself. Well, no, one should act under the guidance of the spiritual masters, but Srila Prabhupada addresses this in one purport where what had happened was Srila Prabhupada got news that one of his sannyasi disciples, who was externally very inspirational, he had had some fall downs, in the plural. So Srila Prabhupada very much appreciated the service he had done, but clearly he wasn't fit for sannyas. Did he do this area also? So at this time, Srila Prabhupada was translating the Bhagavatam 8th canto, the story of Gajendra, in which it's described how Gajendra, although extremely powerful, because he was in the water, he wasn't in his own element, so when he was attacked by the crocodile, he gradually became weaker and was in danger of dying. So Srila Prabhupada used this as an analogy that if one is has taken sannyas but he's not strong enough for that situation, then he can come out of that situation and continue with Krishna consciousness in a situation in which he is strong enough to function. So although there's it's not approved of in, it's very strongly disapproved in Vedic culture that one who takes sannyas can get married. That's described in the Bhagavatam elsewhere in the 7th canto. He's called the Vantashi, one who goes back to his wife. Means one who eats his own vomit. One who goes back to his wife. Although nowadays we'll see someone takes sannyas and he goes to someone else's wife. So in some cases. So even in Vedic culture, when describing the fallen sannyasi, it's one who goes who's back to his own wife. So it's not at all appreciated. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave that allowance. He didn't want his disciples to just leave Krishna consciousness altogether. Even the embarrassment and of leaving sannyas, but Srila Prabhupada wanted, let them get married. If they're not fit for sannyas, let them get married. That was Srila Prabhupada's attitude. And nowadays we're much more conservative in offering sannyas within ISKCON, and the rate of fall down, which was extreme, is now much less and mostly being given to older men. Doesn't mean that older men can't fall down, but it means that they have, it's been seen that they've been not living with a woman or for many years, so they can maintain that. Now, how does giving instructions, this is another set of questions here, how does giving instructions work in the current context? We have many Madhyam Bhaktas acting as leaders. That would be nice. So we are supposed to check with others when there are strict instructions. Other than chanting and regulated principles and strong ideas presented that are directly not in Prabhupada's books, like preaching, program building, etc. I'm not exactly sure what this question means, but it seems to be the idea is that the leaders may not be perfect, but they may strongly promote programs that are not promoted by Srila Prabhupada. And what do we make of this? That's what it seems to be the gist of this question. Well, everyone will say it is in line with Srila Prabhupada and it's meant for that purpose. Although in many cases we may be doubtful. It's difficult to say exactly. We have to see on a case-by-case basis. There are certain guidelines that Srila Prabhupada gave. Well, one thing is he gave the very simple process of Krishna consciousness, of chanting both publicly and privately, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, having festivals, having public harinams. These are the basic preaching. Other things can be done also. But it shouldn't be at the expense of the basic preaching. So even though other programs may be done, just like Srila Prabhupada, he himself instituted the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which is a very different approach to that of the chanting, dancing, distributing prasadam, having festivals, distributing books program. That had a specific purpose. So there may be other programs, but let's see the basic programs strong first of all. And other programs, we'll have to see. They may or may not be in line with Siddhanta, in line with the acharyas. Who will say that? Well, different people will say different things. Everyone will say that we're following Srila Prabhupada. But we'll have to see if the principle, anyabhilashita shunyam, acharyopasanam, anugatya, these are all important terms, if all these conditions are being filled. Anyabhilashita shunyam, promoting Krishna consciousness free from any mundane tinges. Acharyopasanam, worshipping the acharyas, means following the path. Acharya anugamanam, anugatya, means following, the principle of following the acharyas. So it may be difficult to say. If in doubt, stick to the basics. If you're not sure that something's exactly in line with Srila Prabhupada, then don't do it. Stick to the basics. You can never go wrong with that.